Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wonderful Wednesday, Hump Day. I am Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus, the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. We're going to make this thing do what it do. So let's bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Yeah.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Coming live from the VIP, heard the nightlife, lost life, what that mean? Most dead in the state, wanna see by me. The whole city got pissed, heard he got three. That other papa got a hit, but shouted he not down. Who set the city on fire soon as he got free? The king back now, Rawls don't even know how to act now. Hit the club, strippers getting naked before I sat down. See a ball, the money stacked out in the shack now. See a push a button to let the roof on the lack down. I'm on the road doing shows from a Mac down. Mississippi to Philly, Albuquerque to Chat Town. Got the crowd yelling.
Bring them out, bring them out.
I'm a hot girl yelling.
Bring them out, bring them out.
All the dope boys yelling.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring the back gate yelling.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Southern rapper hooded and this, I got rich and I'm still in a hooligan clique. You be rapping by blow, I don't move from the bridge. Talk about shooting that, now we're doing it bridge. If I hit you in the face, you gon' be throwing me quiz. If I catch another case, I know it's true to be missed. So I'ma keep a cool head, stay out of the news headlines, and show these other rappers it's bedtime. Little see that I'm ahead of my time. I got the chrome down hard, talk the real with a shine. I got the time, they ain't nothing, I get better with time. Who got a flow in a live show better than mine? I got a packed house yelling.
Bring them out,
I'm a hot girl yelling.
Bring them out,
I'm a dope boy yelling.
Bring them out,
bring the back gate yelling.
Bring them out,
mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You wanna beat with the king, what is you gon' do? We show up on the scene, what is you gon' do? And you and your friend and play a little 2-on-2. If you happen what I do, you be hitting the deck. I got a tool and a vest, I can get some respect. I'ma make it hard for another sucker to flex. Show them to take a score for a sucker to test. Hell, my too large and we way too fresh. Work well when you put the checker lane like a game of chess. You wanna be better, bring your best. Cause we'll be standing in your front yard yelling.
Bring them out,
all my hot girls yelling.
Bring them out,
all the dope boys yelling.
Bring them out,
the back game yelling.
Bring them out,
front yard yelling.
Bring them out,
all my hot girls yelling.
Bring them out,
all the dope boys yelling.
Bring them out,
the back game yelling.
Bring them out, you know, save all the hating and the popping, pippin', you know. We're telling people you my partner, listen, you know. Don't be a goofy, keep it moving, shouting, you know. Hey, I ain't tripping, but the truth is really, you know. Yeah, you know they call me T.I., but you know. You be hating and I see why, cause you know. I think it's time I made a song for people who know. I graduated at the street, I'm a real OG.
My, I tell you, boy. It's awesome.
It's Wonderful Wednesday, Hump Day.
Like I said, Wonderful Wednesday, Hump Day. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, and we want to bring it out, bring it out. That's what it's all about, because it's coming hard, coming fast. Just be ready to talk some sports tonight. Our call-in number for Talking Sports Plus is 347-857-4192. If you want to give a shout out, whatever you want to do, just press 1 and I'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you, offer your location, name if you choose to, and just offer your expertise. Now, the Talking Sports Plus, which is the Smith Way production, the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school, middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. And if you want to check us out on the web, link you can. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. You're also being broadcast on Facebook, which is facebook.com/DRL, D'Alberto Smith. And we're on Instagram as well. That's Coach Dr. Larissa D. Smith 15. So we're going to have an awesome night tonight. Now, if you also want to connect with us through our email, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. And if you want to tweet the show, you can as well. That's @talkingsportsplus with the number one, @LorenzaDSmith, @ElliotDarrow with the number one, @TremaineEdwards with the number seven, @CoachWithAKane_L_Smith. Our title for our show tonight is Football at Its Best, Part 2. Now, we had Part 1 last week, so we're going to talk some football. We're going to talk from all the way up to the highest level, which is the NFL, NBA, all the way down to high school and, in some cases, grabbing some of our middle school. So we're going to share some thoughts and some expertise about some things that's going on in our coaches' corner. And we always try to make sure we spotlight the HBCs. HBCUs, let me get it right, HBCUs, talking a little fast, is SWAC, NEAC, SIAC, and the CIAA. Now, that's Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, Southwest Athletic Conference, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. You know, normally I'll start with those Division One, AA, and work my way down. Get programmed, so I'm just kind of going from the Division Two on his way back up to Division One, AA. We have several people that's joined us, and they normally call in as volunteers, as co-hosts, and I have about four or five of them that join me from time to time. Tonight we expect a couple of them to call in, but I'm gonna just kind of introduce those individuals that make up our team. We have a young lady, it's the lady of the hour. She's a millennial, and she lives in Central Alabama, and has coached many sports. She's now the head coach of her middle school girls basketball, none other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. We also have a young man hails from North Alabama, right outside of Tennessee. The line you call Meridianville. He was a coach of the middle school up in Huntsville, Chapman Middle School, which young ladies or the girls basketball team won 6 city championships. The boys won 5 city championships. And on top of that, their football team as well at Chapman Middle School won the city championship twice. This young man has coached each and every one. Now he has moved on from Huntsville Public Schools to the Madison County Public Schools and coaching up at Liberty Middle School, and had an opportunity to be assistant coach with the football program, and they went for the city championship or the county championship for Madison County. So he's out there just striving, doing some things, grinding. He's also an individual that's in school trying to get some things taken care of that North Alabama, and he's just trying to make things happen. So he'll join us from time to time. I'm so glad to have him, and just as well as to have Lauren as a part as well. The next young man, he's another millennial. He's a millennial as well, like Lauren. He's in Central Alabama as well. Coaches at various schools in the city of Montgomery, Alabama. Also works at the private school as a technology person, none other than Coach Cameron Giermer. Now we'll talk about them gentlemen who have a lot of years of experience under their belt. We have a young man from South Central Alabama. He hails from a little small area down in Crenshaw County. He worked as the associate director, executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association before he retired in 2018. He's really enjoying 2 years of retirement. None other than my frat brother, member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, that's Coach Tony Stallworth. Our radio personality, so glad to have this young man as a part of this team. He comes in from time to time offering us some expertise, showing us how to do. He's well known and with many and with some, however you want to say it, he's known as the Don King of all things. He's the conductor of the E-Train, and he can be heard on the Big T KD, which is 94.1. You can check him out. None other than my fraternity brother, Daryl E-Train Elliott. So glad to have each and every one of those young men and ladies join us on this show. So we're going to have an awesome time. Again, I'm Dr. Louisa D. Smith, and I'm looking forward to just making this thing happen. Just look at some things dealing with sports. Now, last night we had a show focused on relationship. It was outstanding. We coming tonight, we're coming hard again tonight. And the next show you'll hear from us will be on Monday. We're going to be talking, this is October, Mr. Violence Month. We recognize lupus, recognizing several things, breast cancer. So many things are being done. So we're going to focus on domestic violence, and we're going to have an awesome time on Monday night. So check us out on Talking Real to You. That's scheduled for 7:30. So check us out for an hour and a half. We're going to just have some guests come in and share some things. Now let's talk some football. Football at its best, part two. Last week, we talked about part one. We're going to start off, first of all, the question that came up dealing with last night's results from the NBA Finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat. The question was, is Anthony Davis LeBron's best teammate ever to make up that tandem, the two individuals, because LeBron has been with Kyrie Irving, and as making up a tandem. And he's been with Dwayne Wade to make up a tandem. So now he's with Anthony Davis. And looking at this, I see Anthony bring a different demeanor. Anthony Davis, young, energetic, 25, 26 years old, and he plays at a different level. And LeBron is at 35. And LeBron plays all time. He's the greatest. He's an awesome player. Now the question, the other individuals that part of LeBron winning a NBA championship is his teammate, even though the Lakers haven't won it yet. We want to know, is Anthony Davis the best? You know, as I kind of look at some things dealing with that, I focus on how this series is going. If Anthony Davis is doing well, the Lakers going to be doing well. LeBron can take over anytime, but LeBron has made his mind up. You know, I'm going to set back just a second or two, and I'm going to let Anthony step in the limelight, and he's doing it. And he's averaging right at about 25 points in his playoffs per game, way over 12 to 15 rebounds this game, 5 to 6 steals at time to time. And last night he had a tough challenge. His challenge was to take on that microwave of a player, Jimmy Butler, last night, who scored 40 points in game 3, which the Heat won. And a man standing 6'11", agile, fast, quick, was checking a 2-guard, which is most time maybe 6'4", 6'5", but he's a guard. This gentleman caused a lot of things to happen. And he uplifted the Lakers along with LeBron, who did his thing always, to put where this may be the best 1-2 punch I have seen. I have seen in a long time because they play at a different level. Anthony feeds off LeBron, and LeBron is the leader now. When he came into the lead, if you remember, he was at Cleveland. Things weren't working out quite well. He asked to go to Miami Heat. He partnered up with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, but Dwayne Wade was that other partner. So we want to see their level. They won two championships there. So the point is, we want to see if Anthony bringing a new life. I have to say a new life. And LeBron is 35 years old. And we might say that's young. But in the game of professional sports, especially football and basketball, 35 is old. Because you've been in the league probably since you were 17 years old. Now that's 18 years later. You've been in the league long as you've been on this earth. So the bottom line is, if you come in 17, then 18 years later you've been in the league. So you've been in the league long as when you first came here. So LeBron is has his time, and he is one of the greatest. He's up on Mount Rushmore, right along up there with the other greats like the Michael Jordans and the Bill Russell, those individuals. So. But with the tandem that I see here, my thought is that he add a new dimension to their game. because he can guard anybody. He can check anybody. LeBron can check anybody when he wants to. But Anthony just to go get him. He'll go get him, and sometimes he's tentative, but when he get ready to go to work like he did last night, he shut the man down who scored 40 points and 12-plus rebounds and assists the two nights before to have him only scoring 20 points. Couldn't even get a shot off. When he got it off, he had to shoot it over a 6'11". Long arm, so makes him about 7'7". So we have to kind of consider that. So at this point, the two consider there's five great players they stay in the league. LeBron is one of them. And Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, I'm just calling, and Anthony Davis, and there's several others you can add to that. But those five top players and two of them on the same team, and one of them have, because of his years of experience and wisdom, has begun to relegate himself back to being just the one who motivates, but scores when he wants to score, a savant of basketball. LeBron is a savant. He understands the game. He's a coach on the floor, and he's stepping back to let a young man do something so this tandem could be considered the best. At this point, I see them as being the best teammate that LeBron, who's Anthony Davis, have ever had. So I'll go along with that. And we have our challenge, and I want you to be a part of this by challenging me on that and share. You may see difference, saw difference. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line so you can chat with me and offer what you believe, who you believe could be the individual that would be the best teammate that LeBron had ever had. The second topic we want to talk about is about the big gap between LeBron and the rest of the league. Now, I want you to think about that now. The big gap between LeBron and the rest of the league. There's a discussion could be that Kevin Durant is one of the magnificent players, but he's been hurt, and we don't know what he's doing. He's at home now. LeBron is still playing. So we look at this, and we talked about Kawhi Leonard, how he made a difference and winning that championship, helped winning that championship in Toronto. But came this year, they fiddled out when everybody thought they would be the team to win the championship. So the question is, have LeBron extended and pushed himself further away from the rest of the league? The question is an excellent question. And I would say yes, because LeBron is going to be working on his fourth NBA championship. LeBron is going to be one of the few players who have been to the championship game 10 years. It won't be 10 consecutive years, but 10 years, because, you know, last year he didn't go, had a chance to play in that many championships. And in most cases, except maybe that first year, even in that first year, he was able to be in that championship game. So we will say he has separated himself by playing at the high level, or the highest level you can say that an NBA player needs to play at, and longevity. I would like for you all to think about considering what LeBron have done for all these years, for 18 years playing basketball at a professional level, how he takes care of his body. This man spends $1 million on his body to make sure he's fit, make sure he's ready to go to play the 82-plus games. And you see he rallied a bit hurt. He's playing all year. A lot of times he began to kind of lobby with his time. Now he don't play as much as he normally play, but in most of the time he do. He plays close to a full game, and not so much now, but we have seen him play full game and also play 82 games plus in the playoffs. What I want to move forward to now, I have one of the co-hosts on the line now, and we're going to let him join us. This young man hails from South Central Alabama, as I said earlier. He's our high school resident expert. He's worked hard around young people, and I have myself. None other than Touchdown Tony Stallworth. Coach Touchdown Tony Stallworth. How you doing, Coach Stallworth?
My brother, how are you? And I guess you have, is that Tremaine on with you there tonight?
He hadn't made it yet. He said it was coming.
Okay.
So, yes, sir.
Oh, I know why he's not there. He's afraid I might be on tonight.
That might be it, my brother. We're glad to have you on tonight. And we're just trying
to
focus on some things. And we had talked about LeBron in regards to Anthony Davis. And then we come forth and talk about whether LeBron has kind of widened the gap between the rest of the league in regards to the things he's doing right now with the Lakers. And we just want you to jump in right there and see what your thoughts in regards to LeBron and what he's doing. Is he really separating himself from the league, or the league's not as far away from where he is now? Just your thoughts on that.
Well, LeBron, to me, he's always had a high IQ for the game. Along with a high IQ for the game, he spent about $1 million of physical workness in his body each year, and that's obvious playing 17 seasons in the league and at 35. And
yes,
with
sir.
That being said, it gives him an extra edge, because if you go back and look at the players that are in the bubble as well as the players that are playing against now, none of them have the experience that he's had in championship games. LeBron got more experience in championship games than titles that he's won. You know, and so
yeah.
it's a situation to give him an opportunity to bring on people. People say a lot about Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis been holding his own since he left Kentucky, of course. It's a perfect fit, but the bottom line is, you know, you look at people like Rondo that has so much game experience. And
yep.
people quickly forget that Rondo played with Davis in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And his mentality allows LeBron to concentrate on a whole lot of other things, because Rondo holds his own. He has that
yes,
type of mentality. So those are the pluses that people are not talking about, but those are the things that people will eventually see, because it's over. My hat goes off to Eric Spoelstra. Because he's a dynamic coach, but give him credit. He knows the upside of LeBron because he coaches. He got championship with him. But even at that, this is a new LeBron, one that knows how to pace himself, one that has learned how to assert himself better with teammates. I'm not taking anything with him because he did it all the time. But he knows the flow now, and that comes with experience. You know, 17 years in the league. But I still think he's still number three behind Kobe and Mike, and Mike would be number one to me, because there's a little bit of difference in distinction in him. This guy has a lot of physicality, because he can play some bully ball with you. The other two had a lot of finesse and a high skill set, you know, and of course, taking that from LeBron, it's just that he has a blend of that. These guys had a high skill set of what they have. And LeBron is getting there because, you know, as long as you stay in the league, the better you're going to be. No different strokes,
yes,
different folks, but hey, the results seem to be almost, is going to get to be the same eventually, I would think.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, my brother. And that's what we got to understand. You know, you can take these players who have their own strong characteristics that kept them in the league and kept them on the top. You know, Mike won 6. We know Kobe won 5, and it was not by coincidence. Even though he won a couple of them, 3 or so with Shaq, and he came back and pushed himself and won 2 with Gasol, Paul Gasol. So you see that kind of level of play. So in regards to just now in the league, you know, with the league, if we talk about the various players, Kawhi, what kind of player he is, Jimmy Butler. We talk about them, but when you see LeBron playing at the highest level at 35
yeah.
years old, and you
mm-hmm.
have these other guys that are young, Mono DeNova and all them, you know, they're young guys, but they don't quite have the killer instinct in them quite yet. They're going to take time.
That's right.
And some people just don't have it. I think LeBron have made his mind up what he's going to do. He made his mind he's going to do it and bring somebody else along so they'll get the feel of it. You know, that's what we ask everybody to do. We ask coaches to reach back and talk with young coaches. We ask mentors and adult males to reach back and talk with our boys and our young and try to train them and give them a feel of what it could be like. And LeBron is showing that more so than any one of these other individuals that's in the league, that's been in the league, relinquish pretty much worrying about winning the MVP or worrying about it to give a young man, he knows the only way we can go through winning this thing because nobody can match up with it. No one. That's Anthony Davis. So that makes that tandem a lot different than the way it was in Miami or way it was in Cleveland because he was growing in a process. When he was at Miami, he was just growing up. When he got back to Cleveland, he was grown, but he had another young man thought he was the man, and they bumped heads in some sense there. But right here, you know, I'm admiring Anthony Davis because Anthony is willing. See, the success of everybody, no matter what you're doing, you have to be willing to do it. Anthony Davis, yes, he want to win a championship, but he's willing to do whatever it takes. And LeBron said, we got to get our heads together. He's willing to listen to him. He see him as a big brother because he's about in his mid-20s, and LeBron is in his mid-30s. So he said, this guy been in the league 17, 18 years, man. You know, I'm going to listen to him. You know, because I'm not going to go and have a big head what may have happened last year with the Lakers. Had some of them head was a lot swollen, a lot bigger than they thought they was because they really thought they could play. But when you're losing like they was losing, I don't see how you can continue to do that. But the point is, this young man is ready to listen. And he also listened to Rondo, who's been in the league about 18 years and won championships. And plus, he played with Anthony Davis, as Coach Stallworth said, down in New Orleans. So these are the kind of things we look. And we'll say, yes, he because of longevity, as I said earlier, he began to pull away from the rest of the league. The league is still trying to catch up with him. And I just believe that things have to happen where maybe he just starts slowing down more and more. Maybe I don't see it. And Brother Stallworth, I don't know whether you see it either. I don't see the man slowing down. Maybe getting two good hard more years. It looks like this man picking it up at 35. Dr. Smith,
$1 million worth of substance in your body and physical training. We'll keep you going now. Think about it. But here's another thing that I think people are not really reminded of LeBron. Think about when LeBron was down in Cleveland. LeBron, first when he went there, he didn't have a whole lot of help. And he went through growing pains. And I think that's why he's so asserted and so relinquishly to work with people like Anthony, because he's showing Anthony that, listen, you got an opportunity to get there a lot quicker than I had, and you got an opportunity to get there with a lot more help than I had. Let's do this thing together because I'm willing to give back to help you move quicker in your destiny than I had to, because LeBron earned everything he got now. People don't want to give him credit for it, but he did. He went through what he had to do, came back to the place that got him started, gave him what they needed after he learned to be that quality guy and created the type of killer instinct, and then they got him some players. And now he's just cherishing the moment. I think he's kind of floating through that thing now. There ain't a whole lot of pressure on him, other than he's demanding his respect with officials.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And he said, I put these 17, 18 years in here. I demand you to be able to respect that. You calling travel on me. You know, in times they don't call travel on LeBron, but I know he complained a couple of times the other night, which was the night they lost the ball game. You know, he took 10 steps to get to the goal. But if sometimes it's like that, he plays the game at a high level, and he has extended that gap to me, where the rest of the league got to catch up with him. And I don't know whether they're ready to catch up with him. They talk, everybody talk a good game by Kawhi. They talk about Ginobili, and they talk about all these players. But the truth of the matter, LeBron is consistent. If he ain't hurt, he's gonna play. And if
that's,
he ain't, if he, if
you don't
he ain't
miss,
hurt,
you don't miss, you don't
he's gonna play
game.
And win.
Just don't.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir. And he always said, "I won't take games off." You know?
No,
he,
I know.
He said, "I'm gonna play because I love playing the game." And you know, that should be inspiring to people to hear him say that. You know, instead of wanna take a what they call a rest day, one or two, LeBron just get out there and go play. Go out there and play. It's not saying that he don't take more time in between the games and you know, 20 minutes here, 30 minutes here, throughout the not at one time, but you know, time to get his feet back up on. He's playing smart now, and that's what you should do at 35 years old. You should be still busting it, going up and down the court, you know, every time, because your body has time under his belt, and it will hold up and it may not hold up, even with
that's
you know.
Right.
So he's looking at it that way. So you know, we want you to be a part of this conversation as well with Coach Stallworth as well as myself. You can call in 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. You can offer your thoughts about it. Coach Star, I want to take a little different approach to our format. I want to move down to high school storyline. And what I want to kind of do is talk about what has happened that our audience like to know in regards to coming up this weekend with, we know, Hurricane Delta is supposed to hit sometime Friday or so, and there's been a lot of changes where the schedule, people have adjusted the schedule. Maybe you want to share some thoughts about that in regards to games being moved possibly. I know one is played tonight down in Mobile on the coast down there, which is Sarah down there. They're playing Gulf Shores tonight, and somebody played last night, if I remember seeing that somewhere. Mm-hmm. Share your thoughts on that, brother.
Well, that's no hesitation with the association when it comes to flexibility and scheduling, because at this day, we're talking about seven games in. What you don't want to do is to push anything back week by week. In football, you cannot do it. In basketball, you can always make those adjustments because you play two a week anyway. So it's always been a discretion. It always has been a situation where if two schools agree and whoever the host school is, make sure they maintain, which is the management, making sure officials are intact. Communication is given to the association so we can make sure media is on board so you can get your coverage. And you got to look at the fact that in this day and society, under the National Federation of High School, you know, some games are broadcast. So it's a matter of being proactive, and a lot of schools being warned of this possible storm 5 or 6 days back, went ahead and started proactively planning. And it's much easier to do because here in the county where I am here, where I serve as athletic director of all three schools, we are all those schools have moved back games to Thursday night, giving them flexibility. Because you got to look at one thing. What if you get caught up in pandemic and have to move something back? You won't have no moves. You won't have no space.
Yeah.
So it's an easy fix. And it also gives players time off into the next Friday night. Give coaches some time off. Maybe, and kids can go home on Friday for a chance. And coaches.
Yeah.
So it's a very remote type situation to handle, just a matter of being proactive. And most of them have already done it.
Awesome, man. And that's what we ask, that pay close attention in your area whenever we have uncertainty, especially with inclement weather. Even with COVID-19, there are some things being adjusted. Being proactive is the key to this. And I tell everybody, being proactive, deal with coronavirus. You have to be proactive. You just can't go out and just walk around like nothing is going on when you know it's a real thing. But you know the hurricane. They moved from names now. They started going to Greek alphabet and words
that's
related
right.
to Greek.
Right,
we're on Delta now. So in essence, everybody understands that these hurricanes during the time of June 1st down to December 31st, because that was something big, especially on the peninsula, South Peninsula of Florida. You know, that's hurricane season. You might see 3, 4, 5 hurricanes come through. And you have to be ready to make the necessary adjustment. And the High School Athletic Association, High School Athletic Association, making sure they adjust it so our young people won't be put in situations, families won't be put in situations, communities won't be put in situations by trying to play. And you know, a storm is destined to hit are already probably may have hit earlier somewhere close to you, cause your roads to be flooded. All this goes along. This is planning. You have to be proactive, especially when you're dealing with people's lives. That's one of the things we always have to keep in mind as administrators and coaches. We have to be proactive. And that's what the association is making sure they're doing it also in other states as well, trying to make sure they deal with this, because you don't know what direction this hurricane is going to go. This hurricane may belly to the right and then go through Fort Myers and go through the west coast of Florida. Or it might just follow the route it said and come up through the Gulf and go up through Mobile and that area and travel up to Montgomery. Or it might belly to the left and go over in Texas. So we just don't know. So let's make plans. Listen and watch your sportscast, watch your weathercast so you know how you stand, and find out, because the game may have been Friday night, might have been moved to Thursday night, which I noticed they have. But I also saw some that was some Friday nights on there, maybe because there was no way to make a change. And then I know I saw a Monday night, Coach Stoller. If I saw a Monday night, too, so I think somebody moved it to Monday
night. I think what you're seeing is those games that are moved quickly are the ones that may have been forecast, like close to the Gulf, close to the Mobile area, mm-hmm. and close down deep south, to be attacked by this storm. They don't take chances down there because they've been through it, just got out of one. So those are the ones.
Yes.
It could be a situation where somebody might, up on this part of the end, go to a Saturday. You know, so in by rule, you can't play on Sunday. So, you know, it's going to be some moving around to get this week seven in with games to make sure you stay on task. I am really, really applaud to the association for allowing these games to go on, because I just actually thought that it was, I ain't going to say impermissible, I just thought it was inadvisable. But, you know, I think, you know, having student athletes under somebody's instruction is probably better monitoring than having in the street. So it works both ways, because if something happens to you where you have some type of symptoms while you're in an organizational structure like in athletics, you're going to get immediate attention. So it's two ways to look at it, I guess, you know.
Exactly.
Seemingly it has worked out up to seven seasons. Nobody,
mm-hmm.
you've had a few breaks here and there, but it hadn't been no major catastrophic disruption. It really hadn't. I thought it would have been a situation where it'd been so flammable to we'd be in a shutdown. I didn't think we'd make seven games. I really did. Thank God we did.
You're right. And and we have to keep that in mind, because, you know, as I even put on the format about today, I think it was announced that North Ridge and Hueytown has canceled their game scheduled for this weekend due to COVID-19 concern, as well as Tuscaloosa Academy. They play in the AISA. Their scheduled mm-hmm. game with Clark Prep, they canceled it. So it's happening. You had schools before then, because I called out the schools who midfield last week made the decision to end their season because of the outbreak, because
mm-hmm.
of COVID-19. So it's happening, but it's not like I think everybody thought it would be just drop it down and everybody will be where they can't function. If you follow the protocols, the safety protocols, you have an opportunity to probably make it through this season, because that's one of the things about the NFL. They have a discussion about that, and I want to kind of swing back up there when we finish talking about high school. But we always want to like to talk about the rankings, and well, since we have our high school expert on, we want to try to look at some of the rankings of some of the schools if they within the Central Alabama, South Central Alabama. We can just give a shout out to them and see what they're doing in regards to our top 25 rankings or whatever in regards to local rankings and schools that are really outstanding. I do want to say last week we did highlight several players from this area and spotlight them. And Tucker Kilcrease was highlighted. last Wednesday night, along with Davidson, Horace Davidson out of McKenzie, as well as Drew Pickett.
That's a little bad. That's a little bad.
Yeah. And I'm talking about, and these kids are just, you know, we want to highlight. We're going to highlight some more this week. But Coach Stallworth, I want to give him the opportunity to come in right now and kind of talk about some rankings and talk about some things. Yes.
One thing I want to say before I'm going to take 60 seconds to go through all seven classifications. So in essence of time, and thank you so very much, Dr. Smith, for allowing me to do that. But the thing is that let's be mindful that a lot of these teams that are in other classifications, even when they won state championships last year, have been moved to other classifications and still exceeding. So kudos to the association for not necessarily punishing under competitive balance, but putting teams that are just good in their programs in representative format in classification, and they are continuing to stay. I'm going to start with 7A.
Exactly.
Last year, you know, you can't get it this high in 7A. Thompson was a champion, ranked number one this week, 7-0. Hoover from three last 2 weeks, moved up to number two, and that's going to be a great one in that regional showdown. Only one of them can come out of there. Auburn might be a recipient of one of those teams' loss because they at number three at 7A. And let me say this about Prattville. So, Dr. Smith, you know, and I know, back in the days, Prattville was the king of 6A football.
Yes,
when it was only six left, and going into 7A. And I'm just proud to see them back. They're at number 10 with 5-2. 6A Oxford, that is a huge, monumental development and growing up in Oxford. I had an opportunity to go up there when we were planning on, when I was with the association, of moving some of our championship programs up there. Mountain Brook used to be all basketball. They ranked number 2 this week in 6A at 4-1. And of course, Clay Chalfour, I call it the two schools in one, at 3-6-0. 5A, Pleasant Grove, that's a surprise. At number 1, St. Paul, that was moved up. They 6-0. I tell you what, they complain, they growl, they scowl, but it didn't slow down, did it, Dr. Smith? And our Magnet School from Birmingham Ramsey, the special kids, so to speak. 6-0 at 3, and Pike Road from our home right there in Montgomery, 7-0. They'll get there at number 7, but I'm going to tell you something. That ain't no average rank number 17. They're pretty strong. Seen them play several times. I skipped 4, but I'm going back. American Christian, I think that's American Christian. I touched losing that, right, Dr. Smith? 6-0 number 1.
Yeah.
Madison Academy and Madison County, both. At Madison Academy at 2 and Madison County at 5. One is 5-0, 6-1, respectively. Now, here's something that's amazing. You remember Fife that won it?
Yes.
In 2A? They number 1
sir.
In 3A. That's what I'm saying about competitive balance. Competitive balance doesn't hurt everybody. What it does is it gives a lower class a little bit of relief when you move a class like that out of there. Two ways to look at it, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And they rank number 1 at 6-0. Walter Welburn behind them at 6-0. And at 2A. I mean, I want to say something about Flomerton. Flomerton is a program down in deep South Alabama that sometimes get overlooked. They are at 3 at 6-0. Piedmont is another one of those that slipped down a little bit at 5-1. M.A. and T.R. Miller at number 5, 6-0, 5-2, respect. And Catholic out of Montgomery, 5-2.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a few of those good public school kids may have stopped by and helping them out a little bit, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Stop by.
I ain't going to go there. I didn't let go. Wherever a kid can be successful, let it be. And at number, and at 1A, Brantley High School, kudos to them. At 6-0. Linden, down the road there. You know, my brother used to be there. Coach Jackson has moved up to Central Phoenix City. I know he's proud to know that his successor is keeping it going on. Maplesville, 5-1. And, of course, I want to say this. Nota Southern, 5-0. But I'm going to tell you something. The one I'm going to give you right here is Sweetwater at 5. Sweetwater is 3-2. But let me tell you who the two losses are to. Thomasville, which is ranked in 5A, and Leroy, who's ranked in 2A. So don't let that fool you.
Don't let it.
That's right. Don't let the green grass fool you.
Yes, sir.
But
yes,
there
sir.
You have it in 1 through 7A this week update. And the reason why you get those 7A that has 7-0 is because those are 32 teams, and sometimes they don't use the play-in game. They start in the regular season because they get through quicker than everybody else because they don't have the additional time and rounds because the numbers are low. But there you have it there, high school rankings for this week. We pray that we get through this thing and have a great championship game at the venue for the championship. There you have it.
Awesome, Brother Starworth. Thank you so much. Coach, just sharing some things with you. And I'm going to just kind of add to some of those teams he mentioned that are doing so well, some of the players who's being spotlighted this week. And we're going to even jump not only from just the state of Alabama, we're going to share some people out of Florida and Georgia that's doing well. We have this Cabot McCreary, a freshman at Montgomery Catholic. Coach Starworth just mentioned him. He passing a total of 1,486 yards. 17 touchdowns. Listen to
That's
me. 17 touchdowns. He's throwing that ball, and he's a freshman, a ninth grader. Let's think about that. And he's doing well. Congratulations, Cabot, for doing what you're doing over at Montgomery Catholic. Then we also have Carlos Carter, a senior at Macon East Montgomery. He's rushed for over 960 yards. 14 touchdowns on 74 touches. Come on, man. 74 touches, and he got 960 yards and 14 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's AISA, NBA, JBT, whatever you want them. When you touch the ball and you rushing right at about, truly, almost 12 to 15 yards a carry, that's some hard work with that, brother. You got something going. You got an awesome offensive line. Yes, sir. That's 14 touchdowns.
That should be committed. That's not easy to get done. I can tell you that.
Exactly. You have Cosner Harrison. He's a sophomore at St. James. 78 rushes for 122 total yards. So he's grinding, too, as a sophomore. Then you have Kenwing Dixon, Sr., and I might not be saying it right since, you know, Coach Starworth know about Bradley. He has 15 rushes. Ken Wong. See, I'm looking at WYN, that's one. And he has 15 rushes with 14 touchdowns. 15 rushes and 14 touchdowns. That means he's touching the ball a lot. So we want to give a shout-out to all the players in the state of Alabama. That's two players for Bradley because Tucker was with us last week, and we appreciate it, and we're going to make sure we share that and I'll invite all those individuals in the state to come at the end of the year, and I'll share it with Brother Starworth as we talk more and more about doing something for them at the end of the year and recognize and handing some things out to recognize them. State of Florida, they also have some spotlight players of the week. Eli Moore, a freshman from Southwest Florida Christian Academy. He has passed for 1,261 yards, 73 completions, 13 touchdowns. Cornelius Shaw, he's a senior, running back out of Victor Christian Academy out of Fort Myers. He has 64 attempts, 1,030 yards, 13 touchdowns. 64 attempts, touching the ball 64 times, and already have 1,030 yards and 13 touchdowns. Matthew Wilson, he's a sophomore running back, and he's a scoring leader for the state of Florida from St. John Paul the Second Academy at Boca Raton. This young man has 17 attempts. He only have 158 yards, but he has 14 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's touching around the one a lot. Now, when he's touching, he go for it. Either way you want to look
right.
at it. Those are the players.
That's right.
Yeah, when I'm talking about spotlighting from the state of Florida, now the state of Georgia, we have those individual passing. We have David Renard Jr. from Flowers Branch High, 99 attempts, 67 completion, 1,290 yards, 8 touchdowns. We have Jesse Phillips Jr. He's a senior running back out of Rutland High in Macon, Georgia, 83 attempts. He's averaging 291.7 yards a game.
Ooh.
Please listen to that. They only
That's
played three games.
That's a great offense he's in there, too, to
Ooh.
Allow him to have that.
290. Woo! And only 83 attempts. You figure it up, do the math. That's almost close to about 30-some yards a touch of the ball. Man, this young man is running. He's a total of 875 yards and played three games. Jaben Ford, senior quarterback, he's the scoring leader for the state of Georgia. 12 touchdowns, 12 rushing touchdowns in just three games. Man, I'm telling you, that's something to look at. So those are our high school spotlighters. I said spotlighter for this week. We try to recognize players. Sometimes it may be the same player. If they spotlighted and recognized by the Alabama High School Athletic Association, Georgia High School Athletics, Florida High School Athletic Association, and we also will do South Carolina, Tennessee, Louisiana, Mississippi as well. So we're going to make sure all those individuals in the southeastern part of the United States get recognized. Just some quick rankings, Brother Stallworth, and I want to touch on one thing that I want to go back, and that's dealing with the NCAA and the Big Ten finally getting ready to come to the party, and the Pac-12 coming to the party because they were sitting out there taking vacation. But I want to talk about that right quick. But just the top-ranked teams in the state of Georgia, at number one, you have Lions out of Valdosta. That's every year. They're 4-0. Then Grayson out of Loganville, they're 4-0. Cedar Grove out of Ellenwood, and they're 1-0. In Colquitt County, and if I'm thinking that's where somebody that might be mistaken, Lyles might be where the fellow that was at Hoover is. One of those schools, I believe he's down there in Valdosta.
Well,
yes, 3-0. Then Water Robinson, they're 3-1. And then we have North Cross. Yeah, there you go. That's him, Russ. Bless. Yeah, and Roswell and Valdosta also mentioned in that top 10, along with Collin Hill, Warren County, and Richmond Hill. Also, the state of Florida. We always need to give them folks some shout-out in Florida because they'll make sure they'll let us know that we ain't shouting them out. We have IMG Academy, and everybody got to understand IMG Academy is this Bradenton. They bring in players. So they're high school, or they could be prep players. I mean, they may already finish high school, but they have
and
they may not be from the state of Florida, but they're some of the best players in the country to get those grades up, get the stats up. They have a junior varsity. Matter of fact, my son's first cousin, he's down there as a 10th grader, if not 10th or 11th grader, might be down at IMG Academy. He's playing this season. And they got what they call a regular high school team and a travel squad. So, you know, and he plays offensive lineman, said about 6'5", about 320 pounds. So he was up at what's the Catholic school up in on Lakeshore? John Paul, whatever up there. He played up there in Birmingham, right outside of Birmingham on Lakeshore.
John Paul Catholic.
Catholic, that's him, because that's where the boys that played at basketball at Alabama played.
That's correct.
Basketball. I think one of them coaching up there now.
That's
the youngest one is coaching. So those I mentioned IMG, Northwestern out of Miami. You know, they won the, I think it may have been the 6A state championship. Like, he got 8 classes down in Florida, but you know, it's a different thing when you talk about Miami, you might hear four or five teams, six, and I'm going to call off. Let me run them off right quick. St. Thomas Aquinas, Fort Lauderdale. All this in the same area. Booker T. Washington, Miami. Edgewood, Orlando. You have American Heritage down at Plantation. All that's around that Fort Lauderdale, Miami. You have University High School at Fort Lauderdale. These, I'm talking about the top 10 now. Palmetto out of Miami. Central out of Miami. So that's at least 18 out of the top 10 in the state of Florida is out of the southern peninsula down there from Broward County, you know, in that area down there, of Dade County, either in Miami or Fort Lauderdale. They playing some football down there, guys. They're playing some real football. I'm not taking. I'm not saying we're not playing here, but they playing at that level when you got eight teams in the top 10, and your state consists of really you have Central Florida and South Florida, and then you have North Florida, which is Pensacola. Sometimes kind of forget that it's been. Coach, quickly, we're going to jump over here and talk a little bit about the Big 12, the way where they are, because they look like they're going to be left out of the playoffs. But we're going to also talk about the Big 10 and the power, I mean, the Pac-12 finally going to join the party. I have a concern because on the 23rd and 24th of October, the Big 10 will join the party, and hopefully they can get eight games in. Then you have a week later, if I'm not mistaken, you have the Pac-12 joining the party. And in my mind, I don't see them being able to be in the playoffs. I just want you to share your thoughts about that, my brother, to just talk about the, you know, what's going on with those individual, those conferences joining the party a little late, which are Power Five.
Well, what we have to do is look at the business aspect of the whole thing, Dr. Smith, and you're probably going to agree with me totally. Football is one of your biggest revenue sports. Pac and the Big 12 and all those, you know what they do when it comes to ranking. If you look at right now, and, you know, I am an Auburn guy, but Auburn would have never been anywhere close to the top 10 if either those conferences had been in, because it would have pushed the Big 10 up, if, you know, if they had started at the beginning. So there's so much influx going on now that bringing those guys in and try to find a way to make it and get some type of bowl appearances. You see, everybody forgot about that. See? Get some type of bowl. You can't have bowls unless you got enough teams. So what they're looking at is, okay, we may not have them going into the season. But when they come in, they're not going to have losses now. And the games they win are going to contribute towards the bowl. And you're not going to have a whole lot of complaints, because what you're going to have is revenue going to start picking up because TV picks up, and then you have what you call somebody being proactive and looking at what could happen in the midst of pandemic at the end of the season going into a bowl, which is the biggest revenue. That is the only thing that I can see that make a lot of sense there. I don't know whether you thought of it that way or not, but, you know, being late and going into the biggest market times, which is the bowl game, does not seem fair, but it makes a whole lot of sense going forward, you know.
There we go. And you're right, Brother Starworth, is all about revenue, and that's what it is. The TV market is so important.
That's right.
You make 20,000 people in the stadium where you seat 105, 106, but when it's shown on television, that's the commercial. All the money that's put in that goes to these conferences when they participate. And the Big Ten could not sit out and not have an opportunity to do that, as well as the Pac-12. So it's all about that money. And we know in the Big Ten, one team have a possibility of making the Final Four if they don't lose a game. I hope they don't lose one.
Right.
I'm just saying that. Because if you're only going to play eight, you don't have room to lose one. So that's one of the things that that's exactly what, you know, we're talking about. We're talking about the opportunity to make that money. Now, I think we're going to see something different for the FCS and their Division II and Division III coming up in the spring. I think they're going to do
right.
the same thing. They're going to make some money because people is not used to seeing football during the spring.
That
unless
time of
it's
year.
A spring
That's
game. True. But you're going to have a competitive game to the point that you have the Magic City Classic and the SWAC will be going on April the 17th. Then on the west part of that conference, you're going to have the Bayou Classic going on the same date. Instead of it always used to be like the last in October, the last Saturday for the Magic City, and the Bayou is the next to the fourth Saturday or third Saturday in November. They're going to be playing at the same time. I think the SWAC eyes will be focused on both of those games. They both, I believe, will be televised, and it might be in the morning. One may early, the other one going to be late because there's nothing else going on. It's not going to be in football because basketball will be over with then, too. So the point
exactly.
is, I think it's a great opportunity in these circumstances for the SWAC to play the Magic City Classic on the 17th and the Bayou Classic on the 17th. The Bayou
exactly.
Classic, for those individuals who are not sure, is between Southern University, those Louisiana schools, and Grambling State University. And most of the time, it decides who's going to the SWAC championship. So we're going to look forward to seeing that coming up this spring. So football is going to be pretty much 8 months. And as many folks complain about, well, the players are not going to have enough time to rest, I think that personally I'm going to be honored to have ample time to rest. They'll be ready to go again right in August because
well,
you play
the
spring.
One that, well, Dr. Smith, the one that's playing in the spring, they're resting now.
That's right. That's what everybody, hey, great point. Everybody keep forgetting they're resting now. So
yep.
when they come and play in the spring, they're going to be just do like they would normally do, play the spring game on April the 17th. That's what most schools do now. On April the 17th, mm-hmm. kids going home, stay through the summer, work out, come back ready to go. So this thing I'm hearing by the pundits and talking here, well, the kids going to be hard on their body. It ain't nothing hard on your body when you're having fun. It might hurt you later on, but, you know, it, as a coach, we know they would rather play games than practice.
All they hurt your body is when you're losing.
That's right. When you're losing, we want to put them uniforms in the mothball quick and fast. We're all about putting meat in the suit, so make sure you check out some sports this weekend. We didn't talk much about the SEC, but Coach Stallard said about Auburn and some of the things that just in relationship to the Big Ten coming back to the party and Pac-12 coming to the party. So it's been awesome now. We're not going to move forth and get everything. It's been an awesome opportunity to talk sports tonight. And, Coach Stallard, I appreciate you joining us. We're over about 3 minutes of our time, but that's all right. We put a little time in. But you want to have some parting words for our individuals that joining us, and I'm going to give them a shout-out. Once you get your parting words, I'm going to give them a shout-out, let you hear the names of the people who join us on Facebook, Instagram. They got me alone. Did I lose you? I mean, alone, so it's all worth it. Okay. Any parting words that you have?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think we all, listeners, we need to be very mindful and thankful that we were able to get, again, as much sports in during times like these. When you're dealing with social injustice and black-on-black crime, you need some type of common denominator where people do come together and can get along, and sports do unite all. And I think that as long as that stage is played, we have an opportunity to have some relief in these things that we have no control over. So I just hope and pray that we continue to appreciate what Talking Sport Plus does and what sports does for us all. And let's pray that we get through this pandemic, social injustice, and please exercise your right to vote. Thank you so very much. And as always, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
Awesome. Thank you, Brother Stallard, for offering the words of definite encouragement, and we have a challenging time. But let me give a shout-out to those people who join us. We have Nicole Davidson out of McKenzie. She has a son that's playing for McKenzie, and we gave him a shout-out last week. was a running back down there. So we thank you so much, Nicole, for joining us. She's in the military. Thank you for your service. We have Betty Smith joining us. Thank you, Betty, so much for joining us. And I see a lot of red wrapped around what you have, and I won't call it out. I just see Betty Smith. Then we have Dana Bowser out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Zuma by Mamacita. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. We thank you for joining us, Dana. And I understand your son just had a birthday. I saw it on Facebook. Tell him happy birthday on behalf of the team at Talking Sports Plus. Thank you so much. Latae Pickett, she's the founder and CEO of Inspire to Inspire. I always tell her, I said, when I hear you and you talk, you be talking about inspired, and I get inspired, and I jump, and I be ready to make these things happen. I just make it do what it do. That's what it's all about. Mm. Edna Richardson, man. I know Brother Star, where we know her. Edna Richardson, and she's a cohort of us, worked with us in career tech.
My homegirl.
Yeah, and his homegirl, Coach Stalwart homegirl, Edna's joining us as well. Thank you so much, Edna. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. We have
we won't hold against
Mary.
Her, we won't hold that against her.
No. Mary Smile. It says Smiles. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Denise Stephanie. She's joining us as well out of Berkeley, California. She's the founder and CEO of Behind the Mask Ministry out of Berkeley. Thank you again, Denise, for taking time to join us. Also, Peter J. Brown. Thank you, Peter. That's Ken Folks. Thank you so much for joining us, Pete. You know, it's awesome always to have you. And then we have Belinda Samples, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, out of the great state of Texas. Thank you, Belinda, for joining us so much. I saw your post about retiring and going back and doing a little work as a substitute teacher. God bless you. I pray every day it'll be just great. It's going to be awesome. We also have Rachel Robinson out of that great state of Florida, northern Florida, that Tallahassee. That fam, you over there will be getting a chance to play and bump heads coming up in 21-22. When FAMU as well as Bethune-Cookman joins the SWAT. Thank you, Rachel. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Oh, man, all those shouts out, my brother. You see, excited to be and have everybody join us in the Blue and White family as well as the Red and White family, whoever else of the Divine Nine. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been awesome. But we will call it quits, as Coach Stalwart has shared with me, you know, make sure you're ready to do what you're supposed to do when you deal with the day. But I want to come and say my hashtag is keep on grinding. Things going to get tough, but keep on grinding. Next hashtag, one life matter. We're dealing with COVID-19, and your life matter and my life matter. So consider my life just like I'm going to consider yours. Practice the four safety measures. It is good to step away sometimes. You don't have to be 6 feet. You got to step away. If you're 8 feet, step away. It's good. Also, practice washing your hands. And I was telling somebody recently, I said, sometimes we have a guy, we run in the bathroom and do what we're going to do. We end up doing what? We end up walking out without washing our hands. But now we're going to practice something that may help us and will save our lives. That is wash your hands for 20 seconds with some soap and water. And next thing, make sure you stay at home. We have a frat brother in our chapter. I always tell me the best dose that he can take right now is called stay at home. That's Brother Willard. So I'm going to give him a shout out for telling that. So he's telling us to stay at home. And that's what, if you have to go, go. But if you don't have to, stay there. That's what it's all about. Next hashtag is communicate for understanding. Make sure you're being able to use that skill of listening. Don't always be talking. Next hashtag is responsible. Be responsible. Consider the other person. Just don't do it, even as family members. We always talk about what we should do, but be responsible dealing with these day and time. We got social unrest. We got social justice going on. We got voting coming on. Make sure, vote. If you choose to do absentee, vote absentee. Some places are already casting their ballots already. But if you want to go there and stand at the poll, I encourage you, if that's what you want to do, go do that. But just vote. That's what we ask you to vote. Because whatever the turnout may be, if it ain't the way you want it, don't get mad with anybody. It's just that we have to come up with the next plan, or we have to come out dealing with how we're going to deal with it. Just remember, vote. Encourage our individuals to vote. We can't have 60% of individuals going to vote. Not 60% won't work. I'm telling you. So make sure you vote. And last but not least, Brother Stoneman, as we close this thing out, you know, we're going to reach and grab some things that I'm sure music, we don't own the rights to, you know, blow the whistle, because if you coach, you get a chance to blow the whistle. But I want you to do one thing, all my brothers and sisters. Give your loved ones a hug. Call them and tell them you love them. Zoom, Google, WebEx, check on them and see how they're doing. The times are tough, and we need to have families coming together, checking on one another. And I also want to take this opportunity to give a shout-out to, it's not a shout-out, but to let everybody know, we lost I consider a revered brother of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. His homegoing service is going to be Saturday. He's the founder and the first president, so he's a charter person for the chapter Zeta Phi Sigma chapter of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity in Greenville, Alabama, the first president. And he's sorely going to be missed. He's an educator who changed a lot of people's lives over all the years. And I want to give a shout-out to the family. Our condolences on behalf of the Smith Way Enterprise, Smith Way Production, Talking Sports Plus, and all other talking about things going on in 18 countries. Our brother, Dr. Fred Thomas Jr., he'll be laid to rest on Saturday. Keep the family in prayers, because we're doing the same thing. And you say, if you know them, call them and tell them you love them, because they need that. And that's what it's all about. It's been awesome and nice, so we're going to call it quits right now. And I would like to say and let everybody know it's on here, the Blue and White. His family is Blue and White, true Blue and White. His daughter is active Zeta, quite active. Remember, Zeta, Phi Beta Sorority. If not mistaken, his wife is here as well, and other family members, other people here in Florence. So we lost a revered brother who loved his service for humanity. He just wanted to. Culture for service and service for humanity. So Brother Fred, Dr. Fred, rest in heaven and rest in peace. Brother Stalwart, we're going to get out of here now. It was awesome having you, but we're going to blow a little whistle like we used to do when we out there strategy with the folk. We're going to blow the whistle. But I want to say this before I leave, as I play this. I love you, and I'm going to play this before.
I go on and on. Can't understand how I last so long. I must have superpowers. Rap 225,000 hours. Get a calculator, do the math. I made 1,000 songs that made you move your ass. And for the last 300 months, I made 16 albums with me on the front. And they bum. Where you get your beats? I heard 93 rappers say bitch like me. Two singers and 10 comedians. And I'm still gonna yell it every time you see me in. What's my favorite word?
Bitch.
Why they gotta say it like short?
Bitch.
You know they can't play on my court. Can't hang with the big dogs, stay on the court. Blow the whistle. Where you get that from? Grab a mic, spit one. Let me hit that blunt. MC 8 Ball and MJG. Keep spitting that T to the IMP. Bun B, that's Texas, baby. Ballin' G, that's Memphis, baby. Short dog, that's Oakland, baby. Ain't nothing but pippin' these days, G. My nigga T got locked up, but these real hoes still know they got the bug. Give a fuck, nigga, what you say.